If your sales for wholesale have stalled, I want you to take 2 minutes today and do something about it. I built a quiz to help you find and fix your wholesale blind spot. It's 7 questions, takes 2 minutes, and you will walk away knowing what's standing between you and stronger sales on the wholesale side of things. It's free, it's fast, and it might be the most useful 2 minutes that you spend on your business this week. Go to prooftoproduct.com/blindspot. That's prooftoproduct.com/blindspot and take this free quiz today. Welcome back to Proof to Product. Today's episode is a really practical conversation for anyone that is preparing for wholesale trade shows, especially if you're newer to exhibiting or you're trying to decide whether trade shows are the right next step for your business. I'm joined by Karen Sawyer Meehan of Pier 6 Press. She is a longtime Proof to Product client, a seasoned trade show exhibitor, and also one of the co-chairs of the Noted trade show, which is done through the Greeting Card Association. In this episode, we're talking about what actually makes a booth stand out on the show floor, why product cohesion matters more than simply having a huge product line, how buyers are making snap decisions as they walk the aisles of a trade show, and why your trade show booth needs to communicate your brand point of view within seconds. We also talk about booth setup, product placement, trade show etiquette, and how to make the most of those in-person conversations without feeling like you're coming across as pushy or awkward. And we talk about how having a positive mindset when exhibiting at trade shows is absolutely critical. There's a lot of tactical advice here packed into this episode, but also a lot of perspective around what it takes to build wholesale relationships over time and how trade shows are just one step in that journey. It's an optional step, but it is one step that a lot of folks are taking and seeing success from. So whether you're actively preparing for a show right now or starting to think about whether wholesale trade shows are for your future, I think you're going to get a lot from this conversation with Karen. Also, today's episode is brought to you by our Is Wholesale Right For You workshop. This is a free 25-minute on-demand workshop that will help you get started on the right foot with wholesale. I share common questions, easy to implement strategies, and you'll walk away with clear next steps for your wholesale brand. Sign up today at prooftoproduct.com/workshop. That's prooftoproduct.com/workshop. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Karen, welcome back to Proof to Product.
Thanks, Katie. It's great to be back.
I know. I can't get enough of you these days. You and I talk frequently because we work together, but I really wanted to have you on to have this conversation about things people need to think about in preparation for trade shows, because you are one of the co-chairs for the upcoming Noted trade show. So tell us about that.
That's true. So Noted is the Greeting Card Association's trade show that is it's greeting card focused. Right now it's happening once a year. We're going to be doing it in the winter. We still don't have a ton that we can tell about what's going on there, but this last one was hosted in part with New York Now. So that was in February. And to be in Noted, you do need to be a Greeting Card member, a Greeting Card Association member, but there's a lot of really wonderful things about it. Get a lot of great buyers. You get a lot of people coming specifically to see Noted. And I just love trade shows. I love talking to new people. I love talking to other vendors. And so I'm here to talk about it more.
No, I'm glad. I will say too that the co-location at New York Now last winter seemed like it went off very well. Like, people were really excited. The space in Javits looked really good. People were talking about getting great orders. Like, what were the vibes like last winter when you did Noted?
So that was actually my first New York Now. I've been at Shop Object with some reps, and I've done other trade shows, but that was my first New York Now.
I didn't realize that.
I liked it. I do. There are new New York Now owners, and I don't have a ton of information on that, but everything that I've heard is extremely exciting. There's going to be a little bit of changes in the summer show, but then the winter show is, if people thought that this last one was good, this next one is going to be great. The new owners seem really passionate, and hopefully if it all works out, which we're still talking about it. No matter what, I think even if Noted happens to be someplace else, New York Now is going to be great. It's looking really positive.
But Noted itself was really great too. Like, it was a show within a show, and you had a really great turnout from folks in the GCA community. So
we did. Noted, no matter where it goes. So we've been in San Francisco, we've been in Brooklyn, we've been in Las Vegas. No matter where it goes, it draws people specifically for that show. We have definitely diehard buyers. We have fans that just love to come because it's the vibe. And then, of course, you know, their stationery is big right now. It is truly on trend. And if people want to get great stationery, notice where it's at. There's no better place.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So you were a recent speaker on our Paper Camp program. We had you come in week 4 when we talk about exhibiting at trade shows. And you and Allison O'Connor provided some great information about the different shows you've done, how the audiences are different. And from that conversation, we wanted to dive a little bit deeper into things that people should have in mind prior to doing the show, but then also once they've made the commitment. And I know a big thing we talked about was before we go to a show, we need to make sure that the product line is cohesive, that it is ready for a show. So can you talk about what that means and what you look for and what you're seeing on the show floor?
Absolutely. So I know a lot of people, and honestly, when I started doing trade show, I was just thinking about money. And like, could I afford to do it? That is very important. However, now that I've done them and I've been successful at them, I find that buyers have like 2 seconds as they're walking by. They have so much to do. Remember, this is their job. So they're really busy and they have 2 seconds to look at your booth or my booth and determine what my booth is. And the way I like to think about it, it's like a shopping mall. And if I'm walking down the hallway and I look at Hot Topic, J. Crew, Payless Shoes, I know exactly what I'm going to be getting just in 2 seconds. I don't have to wonder of like, oh, is this for me? And if I do, and if I'm busy, well, I'm probably not going to go in that shop. I'm going to go in the one where I know I'm going to get what I need. And the trade show is the same way. They need to know, okay, is this, you know, elegant and botanical? Is this modern and poppy? Is this sweet and romantic? You know, they need to be able to qualify what it is pretty quickly, because maybe it's not for their store, or maybe it is. And if they cannot qualify it, it's just so much that's coming in. There's so much to see at a trade show that it's going to be easier to skip. I'm not saying that they will, but it will be easier to just be like, I can't handle this right now. Next one. And that has to do with cohesion.
I think every product line needs to have a very unique point of view. It needs to make a statement as to who you are, what it is, and who it's for. But I will say that that's difficult to do, and it comes with time and practice and curating. I know you have some experience with that, of like building out your line in different ways and culling back things and adding more. And how have you made that shift to have such – your line now is super cohesive, but it took time to get there, right? So – what advice do you have for folks who are still kind of in that process?
So, 2 things. I needed to be able to identify my brand very simply. I needed to give it a look, and I got help with that, but not, I went to an outside person to get help with figuring out what that identity was. But not everyone needs to do that. And what I would recommend is pick 3 adjectives. So, for me, Pierce Express is fun, colorful, modern. It's fun, but it's not cute. You know, it's bright. It has to be bright. You know, it has to be colorful. And if I can't pick out 3 adjectives for my line that are just like bam, 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 then maybe I have too much going on. And I'm not saying that I can't like have other things in the line that are more than just fun, colorful, and modern. My line kind of needs to stay within that. So that when someone, again, when someone's walking down those aisles and they're just taking 2 seconds, or they're scrolling through fair really fast, they can immediately be like, oh, this is colorful. I love that. That's something I'm looking for. Oh, that looks fun. You know, oh, I tend to be more of an on-trend brand, so it's modern. And finding those 3 adjectives, everything that I do now needs to fit in one of those adjectives. It needs to be, and ideally it fits in more than one, but it needs to be fun, colorful, or modern. And if it's not, well, then maybe that's just not for my brand. Doesn't mean that I can't make it. Doesn't mean that like at a D2C market, like a craft show, I couldn't sell something. I have other weird cards that are not in my line that sometimes I sell at craft markets. Doesn't matter. but they're not my wholesale cards because they're not fun, colorful, or modern. They're fluffy, or I don't know. They're things that don't fit within the Pier 6 press line. And so I wouldn't put them on my wall and I wouldn't wholesale them. And it's not because I don't love them, or it's not because other people don't like them. It's because they don't make sense in my line.
One of the things I get asked a lot about at Paper Camp is, how many products do I need to have in order to wholesale? Or kind of in that same vein, how many products should I have before I do a trade show? And I do think, you know, we do have a punch list of, here's some kind of things we think you should have in place before you make the jump to doing a trade show. But I find that when somebody's trying to meet a certain number of SKUs, as an example, if we say, oh, you should have X number of SKUs before you do this, not everyone, but a lot of people are just then trying to fill the quota, right? Like, they're trying to make that number and they're not thinking about the cohesion behind it. And so I think this is really important, how you talk about when somebody has a cohesive product line and you're walking a trade show, that stands out on the show floor. Just like if it's in a catalog, it stands out, or on a fair shop, it stands out. And so I guess for friends that are thinking about, listeners that are thinking about doing a trade show, it's not just about like hitting a certain number of SKUs or having a large enough product line, but it's also making sure that that product line has a point of view. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, I knew there was this woman who I was in Paper Camp with, and she didn't have a huge line, but it was so cohesive. Each piece went together. It was elegant. It was a little bit rustic, and it was quality would be the words that I would put with it. And it just all, like, I don't know, she didn't have the 72 or 48 or whatever, but like, she did go to a trade show and she did well because her pieces, it was so easy to see where her pieces fit. I can think of a handful of stores right now. Oh, that one would go. That one would go. And I think a smaller, more cohesive, more selective line is better than a line that just like, oh, I need 200 things. No. You can have 48, and if your 48 are quality and they tell a story and people can see where they're going and where they might put them in their store, or what other brands they might look good with or fill a hole in. Because if you have a bunch of elegant brands, maybe you do need a fun, quirky brand. And if people can figure out where you fit, they're not going to care that you don't have that many. They're going to be like, oh, what we have is quality. And I think it does. It looks better when you're walking by. A smaller display that tells a strong story is way better than having walls covered in stuff that, again, you can't place.
I'm sorry, I took us on a little bit of a detour there, but I want to get back to like the things that folks need to keep in mind for doing trade shows. And this is really more aimed at beginners, but you've got your, let's say we've got our cohesive product line, we've taken the leap, we've committed to a trade show. What are your next tips for folks?
Okay, so at this point, you're definitely doing a trade show. And what I have to say is, you have your booth and you're going to know your booth dimensions pretty early. So you plan it on your computer or on a piece of paper or whatever, and think about your space wisely, especially if you have a small booth. Like I had a 6-foot by 6-foot booth at Noted in Las Vegas. And my gosh, that it's not a lot of room to fill. Well, so highlight the product first. Product needs to be the number one thing that people see when they come in. Not your logo, not your fair link, not some cute decal. It needs to be the product, because that is what they're there for. And if you were to go by quickly of your booth and the first thing you see is your logo, you need to re-switch it. You're paying for that space, and your space needs to pay you back. And the way it pays you back is with your product. And then think about also, like, how are people going to be approaching the booth? So I think this last time in New York Now, I probably went a little low on how my cards were. I'm fiddling. I thought my booth looked good. But I would have had them a little higher, just to be in that perfect eye point. Now I'm short. That's why they go low.
At Paper Camp, we recommend having it in that 3-foot off the floor to 6-foot off the floor space. That's your primo real estate. On the edges of your walls is a primo real estate. Definitely use that wall space thoughtfully.
100%. And I think about, like, so when I think of my lines of my cards, I don't put them necessarily in order by SKU, and I don't put them in order by, I don't know, like, top line is bestsellers. I put my bestsellers kind of in the middle, so that when someone's scanning by, again, the first thing they see is my bestsellers. And then it's just a trick that I use is when I have them all kind of laid out, and I will lay them out at least to some degree on a computer. I kind of squint and I look at it. Something is popping out too much, unless it's like my very bestseller. I move things around so that it's a flowing viewpoint, so that nothing is making too much of a statement, that it all makes a statement.
Collectively. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense.
And then the other thing is to organize your stuff, have it in a grid. And I know people are going to be like, I want to do it in this other way. Fine. That's great. But you're there to sell. A grid is easy to understand. And then add pricing.
Please.
Everywhere.
And MOQ everywhere.
So many places. So many places. Because people, again, you don't know what that person walking by is thinking in their head. You don't know if they're like, oh, I like this brand, but oh, where's their MOQ? You don't know.
And we want to make it as easy as possible for them to buy. And the example I give in Paper Camp is, if you walked into a store and saw a dress on a rack that you really liked and it had no price tag, would you put it back or would you go ask somebody for the price? You know, some people are going to walk on by and stop. Some people are going to ask for more info, but we don't want to make them ask. We want to give them that information.
We want them to say, please let me put this in my cart now. And because again, you never know who the person is that might not ask. And that person might have, you know, 6 stores and they just are so busy. They don't want to take the time, even if they love your stuff. It's just that extra hindrance because not only, especially at New Year Now, not only are people walking New Year Now, they're walking Shop Object. They just had Fair Market. Some people are also going to Atlanta. They're literally seeing thousands and thousands of products. And 2 seconds does add up.
It does. Any friction is going to derail the sale, and we don't want that. Okay, let's talk body language and just like interpersonal relations, like chatting with people at the show. Sometimes people feel really intimidated by that, but like it's really important to be attentive to everyone walking by. You say that everyone should say hello to everyone. Talk more about that.
Oh, yes. And I mean everyone, even people that don't look like they want to be said hello to. Again, I'm there to sell. I am not there to just be like Vanna White. I'm there to sell someone something. And it is in the interaction of me saying, oh, hey, or how's your day? How you doing? Even if they don't reply to me, that extra second in interacting with me, they're looking at my wall. And when they look at my wall, more than 50% of the time, they come in. And so I cannot say enough. People will say, oh, I do talk to everyone. No, you don't. I didn't. And I like, that is my thing. I would think back at New York Now. I didn't talk to everyone. And if I didn't talk to everyone, I know other people didn't talk to everyone. People go by and you do not say hello. And that is a missed opportunity. And I know I missed opportunity in not saying hello to everyone.
I often encourage people to read the room because, to your point, there's people that don't want to talk. There's people that are in the booth as an exhibitor that are afraid to talk. But at the same time, we're there to do business. We're there to build relationships. And so I tell people, I'm like, look, let people, if they're, you know, welcome them to your booth, say hello. If they don't really respond, let them look around, but follow their lead a little bit, but definitely make that interaction. Don't have your headphone or your head down in your phone or, you know, ignoring people. I think your point about saying hello to everyone, it's just niceties. It's opening the door for conversation. It gives you a read on, do they want to talk or do they just want to browse? And then you can go from there, you know?
Well, and really and truly, it even is, because even if someone seems like not responsive to me, I'm maybe a little bit more a bold person and I will continue to talk to them. But the reason is because it works. People take that extra minute. I have quality product and they just need to stop for a second and look at it and then they'll want to come see more. And so I need to get them to stop because they're so overwhelmed. There's so much that they're doing.
I will add a caveat here. Please don't chase people down the aisles. Please don't. Like, have some, not you, listeners. I'm sharing that for the dear listeners because I've seen that.
Well, there's some etiquette. If a buyer is in your booth and in your little space in front of your booth, and I'm going to say your half of the aisle, they are yours to talk to. The minute they have left, they are no longer yours. And unless you have a really good reason to go talk to them, like they left their purse, they, I don't know, I can't think of another reason. You do not go interrupt another person's interaction with them. When they have left your little space, they are no longer yours. And you need to respect that. And a couple of things with etiquette. There is no conversation that I am having with another vendor that is more important than a person in my booth. It doesn't matter. I could be talking about the passing of their great aunt. Doesn't matter. I'm at a trade show. I'm working. I paid for this space and someone is coming to try to give me my money back. And I need to talk to them.
I need to have a conversation. Yeah.
And a good trade show vendor friend will know that when I stop mid-sentence and greet this other person, to walk away. There has been a time when literally Oprah's magazine was in my way and someone like wouldn't stop talking. And I just like, that is so, you don't know. I would try very much not to do it to you. Like I will walk away if I at all can remember to do so. Do not impede someone's sale. You can come back and finish the conversation later. It's not rude. It's not anything like, I don't hate you because you walked away from me. If anything, I'm like, sweet. You know,
right. You want to go talk to Oprah.
Oprah's yeah, team. I want to go talk to her. They're a magazine person. Although I hear that they didn't want a lot of cards. But anyway, maybe I'm just telling myself that. You know, I think there is etiquette.
There's a lot of etiquette. A lot of it's unspoken. A lot of it is what I would consider common sense, but it's also not common because I have seen people do some pretty egregious things. So just be mindful of others. In Paper Camp, we like to break down like the cost. We give a sample budget and a sample number of hours at the show, and we break it down in an hourly rate. And people are always shocked to see that it's oftentimes hundreds of dollars that they're spending per hour to be at that trade show. And so when I say to them, you need to make the most of it, and here's how you're going to do that, I think it flips a switch in their brain a little bit of like, no, I do need to capitalize on every single moment. And all these tips you're sharing about introducing yourself and, you know, the conversations and all these things are really important. And one of your tips here was be niche, but not pigeonholed. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. So I think it's important to highlight why, as a brand, you're unique. But at the same time, you don't want to accidentally cut people out. Because again, you don't know who's shopping there. That person that owns the 6 stores, they may not care about print techniques. And that is one of the highlights of my brand, is that I do everything one color at a time, blah, blah, blah. They may not care. And if I go on and on and on about that and focus it as that this is a printmaking related brand and this is all about the art of it and that kind of thing, I might be pushing away a brand that maybe isn't so focused on that. And they're more just about like the gifts and the vibes and whatever. But instead, I take a cue and I talk more about maybe the humor of my brand or the fact there's a lot of cats. You know, I can make my brand be for everybody without being super focused. Like for instance, if I print through the mediums of letterpress and risograph, and they're not super niche, but they're a little niche. And a risograph focused store did come and visit me at New York Now. And we went all over about the printing and about the colors and about all of everything it takes to make the cards. And that's great. And I can talk to them about that. But with other people, maybe again, that's not as important. So I focus on how bright it is, how it draws people in, that, you know, the cat wearing the hat always makes people laugh. These things that anyone can get behind. Because my stuff might be great in a gas station, but maybe they're not going to care so much that, you know, it's hand printed one color at a time. They may not care about that part. They may not care about my story about why I did the art that I do. They're just like, oh, we like this and it's funny. Let's put it in our brand. You know, like, and those people are as great as customers as the risograph centric.
Totally. And that too goes back to reading the room, like identifying what's drawing them in and what they're looking at. And yeah, like, and that's where too, again, like reiterating what you've already said, knowing your line and knowing what those three adjectives are that draw people in. Those are your three speaking points, you know, based on what folks are looking at. But
well, like it might not be, you know, so maybe like a book theme line isn't selling to a bookstore. They're trying to sell to this gas station, right? And okay, so it's all about books. Well, but it's also about being cozy and about being comfortable. And it's about being, you know, safe in a space, and it's about feeling connected And it's about all those sort of things. It's not just about books. So, you know, there's ways to take that essence and turn it into something that everyone can get behind, even if it's not the niche. So like that book owner, everyone wants to feel cozy and safe. Maybe they don't love Jane Austen, but that's okay. They can still get behind the cards if they are framed in a different way.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Okay. Your next point here was you said you made the investment, commit to the mindset. Can you elaborate on that one?
So it's very expensive to go to a trade show, especially one like New York Now or like having a bigger booth. It's pretty expensive, especially for me because all the they're on the East Coast. There's flying, you name it. So one of the things that my feeling is it doesn't matter if the show sucks. It doesn't matter if I haven't gotten an order. It doesn't matter if genuinely even the show people were to come up and be like, this is the worst show we've ever had. It doesn't matter.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, I would be like, what? But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I've paid to be there. It is my job to find the silver lining. It is my job to be approachable because, you know, if I'm not feeling great and I dwell in that, like we are all have valid feelings. That's totally legit. Like some trade shows suck. They really suck. But if I can't get something out of that, I've just wasted my money. Not in the fact that like maybe I don't make any orders at a trade show. Maybe no one comes in my booth. What can I find that was worth my money so that I am making an investment and not just throwing my money down a hole? And again, it is quality, not quantity. I might get a handful of business cards, no orders and a handful of business cards, or even maybe not even that. But I start to get information. I don't know who saw me. I don't know what's coming in the future. A lot of buying doesn't happen at the moment. I have people that I work with. And so at this last trade show, yes, I was busy, but there's a lot of pre-work that has gone into that. And they knew I was going to be there. They knew that whenever Noted is around, people know I'm going to be at Noted. And so they know, they plan their purchasing of my product to be at Noted. And there was one woman there at New York Now who it had taken her 10 years to get a customer and she finally did. And it's a great customer. The customer she got, he buys like a ton of stationery. He has a very profitable, very busy stationery store. And he's a great customer. He's worth the 10 years of wait. But it took her 10 years of not having him as a customer, of not getting him to buy from her, to finally get it to happen. And I see a lot of people get disheartened by a bad trade show, or quotation marks, a bad trade show. But really, anyone, you don't know who can be the next person. You don't know who saw you. Maybe they didn't even come in your booth. But the next year they see you, they're like, oh, I remember that one. Oh, here's this $1,000 order, you know, like, and they buy. It's the long game. And I cannot emphasize that enough. I know it's hard. It is a marathon, not a sprint. Trust me, when I was paying for this stuff, I was like, what am I doing? Am I crazy? And now it's what? So 5 months later, I'm finally paying off all this stuff. Like, you know, and yeah, it takes a while.
I'm glad you brought this up because this is something we do talk about in Paper Camp, because the expectations that people have run pretty deep, to be honest with you. I think that they think they'll go to their first trade show and they've made it and they'll come home with tons of orders. And that doesn't happen for everyone. Similarly to how a lot of people think, oh, if I just get on fair, I've made it. I'm going to be like selling gangbusters wholesale, right? Like there's a lot of pre-work that goes into this and that's a whole other conversation. But at the same time, the mindset and the setting expectations for yourself and understanding that there are a lot of non-sales, non-quantifiable benefits, like numbers, finances. Yes, that's one metric we're looking at when we're setting goals, but also we're looking at how many people did we meet? Did we talk with any vendors who could lower our production costs? Did we talk with any salespeople who we could work with and they could sell our products outside of the trade show season? You know, like there's a lot of even those side conversations with other brands, you're going to learn things you didn't know. And so I think when I encourage people to set goals for their trade shows, yes, of course, sales and dollars matter. And we do look at those things. But I also encourage them to think about the other things, the softer things. When I say softer, I just mean like not hard numbers, the benefits of going to a show. And there are many, but it does take a resilient mindset, because when you are standing there for days on end, if it is slow, it is painful. And also too, Karen, and I'm sure you can speak to this, negative chatter starts to happen on the show floor amongst exhibitors. And I think that that's very dangerous, because as I've told you all on the podcast, I tell my advisory board members all the time, we don't make decisions about future shows. We don't make decisions about how the ROI of the show was on the show floor. We don't make those decisions until weeks or months later, because we have a lot of follow-up to do after the show too. But I think standing there, or years, exactly. I had people that came to my booth 4 years straight and didn't buy, and then they finally did. And I was like, thank goodness. But point is, I think the mindset also carries into those interpersonal conversations with other exhibitors at the show. Would you agree with that?
100%. I feel very positive, because my experience is that if I find a silver lining, any show is great. And one of the reasons I love Noted, specifically the Greeting Card Expo, is to hang out with all those other greeting card people. Like, is it worth the entire fee of the show? No, but it's a big portion. It's a big portion of why I do Noted versus other ones, is I get to all these awesome greeting card friends. And it's a joy to just, like, if I have to hang out in a place where no one's buying, I'd rather hang out there than, I don't know, some other trade show.
But I think people need to be mindful of the chat that happens on the show floor. And if it's not the best show for you, that's okay. You know, there's still ways to redeem it.
There is.
A lot of business happens after the show.
It's maybe meeting a new friend, or maybe it's learning about a new way of working on something. Or it's through a lot of greeting card friends that I found out a lot about my back end stuff. Stuff that never shows itself on the floor, but I use every day. Or inventory management, or, you know, it's all these other things. It's the collective knowledge that all these people have that's worth something.
And it's valuable to be showing up in spaces where your colleagues are. It adds a visibility component. So again, we want sales. We want everyone to make sales if you're investing in these trade shows. But I think the well-roundedness of multiple tiers of goals, having a strong mindset around it, not making decisions on the show floor, and also not like wallowing if things aren't going exactly the way you want it, having a positive mindset while you're there. I know you had like a bonus tip that you wanted to share with folks. What is that?
The last one is, and this is my, you know who you are. When you have over 200 SKUs, you cannot fit in a 6x6 booth. You cannot fit in a 5x5 booth. You need to go larger. You've invested in your product. You need to invest in the space. I'm sure that there are many people who will think that they can, no, I can fit in that. You can, but you're not going to get your bang for your buck.
It's not going to highlight your products in the best way possible.
And these beautiful brands, it's time to expand and showcase the quality that there is and the diversity of products, right? A brand that has 200 plus SKUs has a lot of different things. And people want to see it. They don't want to have to look through, while they would look through a deck, people want to see it on the wall.
I think it's nice that Note, one of the benefits of Noted, in my opinion, is that they offer the smaller booth size. So I feel like that's a really great entry point for new exhibitors or folks that are just getting started. But I agree with you. The folks that have, you know, 200 plus SKUs, spread out a little bit, show off what you've done. Obviously, it's a budgetary decision too, but do your best.
But I think in the same thing, you know, I decided if I was going to go to New York, I was going to go big. And I was in the place where I could. And, you know, I took that risk. It made such a statement. I would do it again. 100%. I will do the same size booth again, because it made such a statement. I did have other brands of a similar size come over and tell me that they wish they'd been larger because of the statement that it made. A lot about it is that two seconds. What do you see in 2 seconds? And anytime someone passed my booth, first of all, it took more than 2 seconds to pass my booth. Second of all, it was a statement in that 2 seconds. I want to highlight out of these things, the two things. One, your mindset is everything. In saying hello to people, in being positive, being friendly with the people around you, your mindset, if that is something that you can't do, the trade show world isn't going to work. A strong, positive mindset will make it a positive experience. You'll get good stuff out of it. And then the other one is, this is a job. You're selling something, and it's okay to sell it. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing, you're not Jeff Bezos or some capitalistic whatever. You're a cool small maker who makes cool stuff. And it is my job to go out there and sell that cool stuff. And it's an awesome job. And people want to hear from makers. They want it so bad. And they want small makers, and they want all these people that are putting their heart and soul into their products. I think it's more relevant now than it's ever been. And there's nothing wrong with selling it. So make sure that if you go to a trade show, you're there to sell it, and people want that.
I love that. Thank you, Karen, for showing up today and sharing this advice as a seasoned exhibitor. I think this is really great for our both new folks that are thinking about exhibiting to hear, but also those that have been already. It's definitely, as you said, a marathon, not a sprint. And there's so much that we can continue to build upon as we continue to do more shows. But also, like, there's nothing better than meeting people face to face and showing your products in person. I think that's a really important element of the sales process. And so thank you for these tips. Can you tell folks, if they're interested in learning more about Noted and the GCA show, where they can find information? And then, of course, share your Pier 6 links too.
So the GCA is, just search for the Green Card Association or Noted Expo. You're going to come bring it up. And along with being able to exhibit at Noted, your GCA membership gets all kinds of things. It gets a lot of support. It gets mentorship. It helps keep the greeting card industry alive. It's one of the things that a lot of the support in the Postal Service, a lot of that comes from the GCA. So I highly recommend at least checking it out. There's a conference coming up in not too long. And so if you're interested in meeting a bunch of great greeting card people, go to that. And then in the winter, if you want a really nice, fun, friendly expo to go to and exhibit at, and then you can find me at pier6press.com.
Yep, pier6press.com, and all the socials in the same place. Thank you so much for your time today, Karen.
Thanks for listening to today's episode, and good luck to everyone prepping for the summer trade show season. If you found today's episode helpful, I want to ask that you please leave us a 5-star rating and write a review at ratethispodcast.com/PTP. That's for Proof to Product. And if you are looking for support growing your wholesale business and preparing for your upcoming trade shows, be sure to get on the wait list for Paper Camp. We run this program live twice a year, so this is not something that collects dust on the shelf. You work with us, you get our feedback, but we do this twice a year. And the reason we do it live is because we want to get to know you and your business and help you get to your next step in your wholesale journey. Everybody's coming in at a different place, but we want to help you move to your next step. So again, you'll get personalized feedback, tailored strategies about exhibiting at trade shows, and building sales and marketing systems specifically for wholesale. That's what Paper Camp's all about. Join that waitlist at prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. Thank you for listening. I'll be back soon with another new episode.